Lord, getting into one project. We're going to be talking about that in a couple of weeks, about projects that we have planned up, missions and outreach projects that commit to the Lord. But one of the greatest things that we can do as a church is invest in the next generation. We call it the next one. Raising our kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord, like Jesse and Marina. But we have all the kids. I want all the kids, if you're under 12, would you please stand up? You can even stand on your chair if you're under 12. Come on, guys, under 12. Don't be afraid. Stand up, all kids under 12. All right, all right, all right. You guys are the church. You're the church. And God's going to use you to do awesome things in spite of your parents. He's going to do awesome things. He's going to use you in mighty ways. And we have incredible leaders in our youth and kids program. And they're going to come and share about that today. So we give it up to Matthew and Bev Weed.
Well, hey, hopefully you guys can hear me okay. Well, good morning, New Life Fellowship. It's good to be here. It's an honor today to be sharing the platform, the stage today with Bev Weed. More accurately, Rev Bev, by the way. So she's super awesome. It's going to be awesome, and so I'm super excited about that. Me and Bev are going to be sharing some thoughts on just a couple, first of all, a couple passages of Scripture that pertain to our One Initiative series and plan. Last week, Pastor Michael did just an awesome job of highlighting just the importance of discipleship and reaching one more, right? And the week before that, Pastor Dan did just a great job of explaining the heart and mission behind the entire One Initiative itself. And I want to be honest with you guys, I am so excited moving forward into 2021, right? I fully believe that this is God's direction for this year, that this is his plan for this year, and even further than 2021. Pastor Dan mentioned that, even further than 2021. Well, today, like Pastor Dan said, like I said, me and Bev are just going to be explaining, first we're going to be explaining the vision behind Pastor Passion Youth, the vision behind children's ministry, the children's place at New Life Fellowship today. So I just invite Bev to the stage. She's going to go first, and she's going to share what she has to share. So give it up for Bev.
Well, good morning. Just like Matt, thanks, Matt, for that great introduction. Just like Matt, I'm super excited about the One Initiative. It's giving our lives purpose and direction, especially from last year where all of a sudden our normal life kind of stopped and we were just kind of trying to survive. And I think that it's good that now God has said, okay, enough survival, it's time to move forward. So the One Initiative is our way of moving forward and declaring God is the Lord. I love Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. That's the New Living Translation. I love this verse so much that I have a letter board sitting on my kitchen table. And it says, Hear, O Weeds, instead of Hear, O Israel. Because I want my kids and my family to know that this is our proclamation. We are to love the Lord God, the one and only Lord. So the rest of the verse, I love it. I want my kids to remember their purpose is to love the Lord. So today, we're talking about investing in the next generation. If you didn't hear, yes, I am Bev Weed. I am married to the pastor. Luckily, married to the pastor. He's pretty amazing. I've been working as the kids pastor for about a year and a half. I never thought I would be doing kids ministry. Now, as a vocation, I am a teacher, and I have been teaching for over 10 years, but I never thought I would be in the children's church ministry. It intimidated me, actually. The thought of teaching the kids at church a variety of ages was a little intimidating, but the Lord placed the desire in my heart a few years ago. Some of you may remember Keith and Sandy Markham were our kids pastors here at our church for a very long time. I think over 20 years, is that? Probably around then. They were here before Dane and I came. And then they left to go help start the church in Tremont and River of Life. And at that time, Jamie Miner became our kids pastor. And I thought, good. Because at that time when Keith and Sandy had left, I felt the Lord tugging on my heart. You know, you're here, you're worshiping God on a Sunday morning, and then all of a sudden you get a thought drop in your mind. You should do kids ministry. And I was like, I don't know who's talking to me, but I didn't hear what you said. You're going to have to speak a little louder. And so then he did. And so about 2 years into kids ministry, Jamie was our kids pastor, and we started a second service. And Dane came to me one night, being married to the pastor, this is a privilege, and he said, could you take over the ministry on Sunday morning, kids church? And I was like, and I can't tell him no. He's the pastor, right? You can't tell the pastor no. So I said, sure. And I started doing kids ministry on Sunday mornings at 9. And then Rich and Jamie moved to Idaho, and I moved right into the position. And I am so grateful that I did. I love working with the kids. They are so much fun. They're genuine and say some of the pretty funniest things a lot of times. Plus, our kids and our kids' church, they rock. I just have to say kudos to parents. No, it's not any, it's parents. You guys are raising your kids well. So good job, parents. We have one of the most amazing youth children's groups ever. I have new people coming in to help volunteer, and they're just like, wow, these kids are a dream. I'm all, I know. So we need to make sure we thank those parents. I think I'm the rowdiest one in there, so. Yeah, right, Thomas? I am. Thomas is one of my helpers. He sees me. In Kids Church, my primary focus is to teach our kids a heart of gratitude. Every Sunday, I ask the kids to think of one thing that they are thankful for that God has given them this week. Some of our responses have been, oh, I'm just so thankful to God that I feel safe. I'm like, wow, that's deep. Some of them are like, I'm thankful for my family. Some of them are like, I'm thankful that I got that new video game last Thursday night. And you know what? I'm okay with that, because as long as they know that all things, all good things, all things are from the Lord, they could be thankful for video games. I just want them to thank the Lord for all things, because he's the one that gives us to us, right? My other thing that I'm focus on is an opportunity to worship. I love worship. I love worshiping in here. Our worship team is amazing, by the way. We are blessed to have them. They are anointed. And let's give them a round of applause. And every week, they do a fantastic job of ushering us into the presence of the Lord. I give the kids an opportunity to worship. We watch videos because, frankly, I can't sing, play an instrument. But that's okay. I give it all my all. I'm off key. And I bounce around a lot. I'm the rowdiest one in kids' church. The other thing that I primary focus is that I want to teach them the Word of God. I want them to hide the Word of God in their hearts so that they can grow up and have that truth planted inside them. God's Word is living and alive. And if you can get it in you and you can remember it, it will help your life. As Christians, that should be our primary focus, is to hide the Word of God in our hearts. So one of the things I've done recently is we've had a challenge, and I was so impressed. We had about 11 kids memorize all the New Testament books from Matthew to Revelation. I don't even think I could say them by memory. I need my little concordance, you know. And it was impressive. I had 5- and 6-year-olds come up and tell me all of the books in the New Testament. I was so proud of them. And each month, we're having a focus verse. I think this month might be Hebrews 4:16. Kind of goes along with our lesson. And so, again, I'm challenging them. Memorize the scripture. Of course, they get a little treat, but, you know, whatever works, right? And my last focus in kids' church is going to be on missions. We have a program called BGMC. That's Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. And it each month, they focus on one country that we have AG missionaries in, and those AG missionaries are primarily for children. So we get to see another country, another culture. We learn about how kids may live in that culture, and we learn about what their needs are, and we pray for them. And so I really love that. I've also been encouraging the kids to give. They get these little yellow buddy barrels, and if they fill it up with money and they bring it back, you know, that's awesome. If you guys want to give to BGMC, I am all for giving me money for that. That would be great. So those are our four primary focuses: thankfulness, worship, the Bible, and missions. I just wanted to encourage you. I noticed that the verse that we used for the One Initiative for the Next Generation is Judges 2:10. And the scripture says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. I find that verse so sad. It is a sad verse in the Bible. It's a truth, but it's a sad truth. A whole generation grew up without knowing the Lord and what he had done. Telling the next generation about the Lord has to be a priority. It doesn't matter if you have kids or not. Making sure that the next generation knows who the Lord is and what he has done is everybody's responsibility. It's not mine. It's not just Matt's. It's not just the parents who have birthed the children. It's everybody's. Just like Pastor Dane just said during the baby dedication, we as a church need to rise up and make sure that the next generation knows the Lord. How can you do this? I'm so glad you asked, as Pastor Dane would say. Number one, pray for them. Most powerful tool we have is the power of prayer. Pray for the next generation. Pray scripture over them. Here's a good one, Colossians 1:9. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. What? That's awesome. Pray to get that God would give them spiritual wisdom and understanding. We all need that. I love, love, love. My mom's part of the head of the Golden Nuggets. So if you're 55 and older and need a fun group, or is it 50? 50 and older and need a fun group, you should join them. They're amazing. I'm going to be there in 3 more years, Mom. How does that make you feel? So my Golden Nuggets group, it was awesome. Last year, they adopted a kid from Kids Church. They got a picture, a name, and they pray for those children, and they send them cards, and they invest in their lives. They are taking the challenge of making sure that our next generation knows the Lord. Second thing, so pray. Second thing, speak words of encouragement to the next generation. Encourage them. Don't tell them what they're doing wrong. Tell them what they're doing right. Encourage them to seek the Lord. Speak positive words into their lives. Tell them that God has a plan and purpose for them. It may not be like Billy Graham's plan and purpose, but God has a plan and purpose for every one of our lives. Every one of us, God has ordained a plan and purpose. It said so in the Bible, Psalms 139, 13 and 16. One of my favorite verses, and I quoted a lot as I was raising my children, because I'd be like, Lord, you knew this child in my womb. Help me, Jesus. I don't know what to do. But let me read it to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in the book before one of them came to be. And as a mom, I prayed this. Lord, please let my children know the days that you have planned for them. Walk them through the path. Guide their steps in the will that you have for them. Also, words of encouragement. Speak words of encouragement into the life of the next generation. Don't put them down or focus on their negative behavior. They're lazy. They don't know what real hard life is. I don't know. But focus on the good things. They're creative. They're intuitive. They're sensitive. All of those things are a positive, positive thing. And God knows what the next generation has to be so that he can use them to tell the lost about who he is. So I encourage you. Encourage them. The last one is to show and share. And then Matt can come up and knock our socks off with the awesome sermon of his. Show and share. It talks about in Revelation, we will be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let me tell you, don't be afraid to share what God is doing in your life with the next generation. They need to hear and see. I mean, if we look back on Judges 2, it says, after the generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. It's because nobody said anything, probably. At the time, Israel totally turned their back on the Lord. And an angel of the Lord in Judges 2 comes, and he said, all right, you're going to worship pagan gods? That's fine. God's done intervening. You're on your own. And then Joshua passes away, and his generation passes away. And then Israel, that next generation rises up, and they have no idea what God had done. And they turn to pagan gods. That makes me mad. We cannot let that happen. You need to tell your kids. You need to share with the next generation what God has done in your life. You need to tell them how God has done miraculous things, how he provided that job when you needed a job. Yes, even the small things are important. Devotions. I just want to encourage parents and do devotions with your kids. If you don't know what to do, that's fine. There is right now media. That's an amazing tool. Look something up. Have them watch it. It's awesome. Another thing that I would encourage you to do, or another resource that I have for that I used as my kids were being raised. I have four young adults, kids, and there was a book by Stormy O'Martin. Did I say that right? Anybody know? Anyways, it's The Power of Praying Parent. And she lists like topics. So say you feel like your child's struggling with being dishonest or struggling. I mean, it's all kinds of topics. That's just the first one I think of. She gives you a list of scripture you can pray over them and a written out prayer that you can insert their name and pray over your child. Right now, media is a good resource. That's a good resource. YouVersion app for the Bible. These are all good resources for you to do devotions and to get the Word of God into your family. But remember, the Word of God is awesome and it's powerful, but your testimony is also very powerful. Telling them what God has done for you, that's what's going to change this generation. So church, it takes a village. It's not just parents, it's just not Matt and I that are going to pour into your kids. All of us have a responsibility to make sure that the next generation does not grow up and they forget who God is. Thank you.
Hey, man. You know, I just to speak on that, Bev, it was so encouraging. Even today as I sit in the back and the sound media stuff, and I'm seeing, you know, these kids worshiping and raising their hands, and I'm just like, man, that is such an awesome mark of good leadership in our children's ministry. So that's awesome. Man, that's so encouraging. Well, hey, I am really excited to share a little bit today. Thank you so much, Bev. That is awesome. I think we've all heard the expression, and we would use it today, Pastor Andy used it today, kids and teens are not the church of tomorrow, but today, right? Or something along those lines, right? And it's a bit cliche. We hear it a lot, but it's absolutely true. Like, cliche things can be true, right? And that's absolutely true. Church, I have seen teenagers and kids do mighty and amazing things for God. Mighty and amazing things for God. And sometimes, dare I say it, have more passion for Jesus than adults do sometimes, right? And that's convicting. Our theme verse at Passion Youth is 1 Timothy 4:12. It should be up on the screen. It says this, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." I want to come back to this verse in a little bit, but that's our theme verse. A couple years ago, we changed the name of our youth group from Reach Youth to Passion Youth. And I loved Reach Youth. My brother was actually the youth pastor of Reach Youth, and I loved the vision behind Reach Youth. But a couple years ago, it's like 2018, I felt like God was calling the youth in kind of a new direction, a different direction, a new direction. I want to give a shout out to, I don't know if they're watching online or even, I don't think they're here, but to Ethan and Alyssa. Ethan and Alyssa were two of my leaders at that time, and they just did such an awesome job. And Ethan actually designed the logo for Passion Youth. He's super creative in that way. It was so awesome working with them in that time period. And just, you know, we were kind of on the same page in this new direction that the youth group was going. That was such an encouraging thing at that time. If you're not aware, and you may not be, our motto or logo of Passion Youth, motto of Passion Youth, mission statement, is individual passion for the glory of God. Individual passion for the glory of God. And the heart behind that is sometimes and oftentimes teenagers and students live their faith through their parents or vicariously through their parents or an adult, right? And their faith becomes a chore, or like it's this ritualistic thing, or like their parents encourage it. It's like, hey, go to youth, go to church, but it's not this individual thing. And my heart was, man, I want to see students who aren't just coming to youth or aren't just coming to church on Sundays because their parents are making them or because they're encouraged to do so or it's a good thing to do. I want to see students who are glorifying God in their life, doing the things that God loves because they genuinely have an individual passion in their life for Jesus. That was my heart behind it. That's the direction behind it. I just felt like God was leading the youth group a couple years ago in that direction, that their faith would not be their parents, but that it would be as 1 Timothy, going back to 1 Timothy 4:12 says, set the example in their own life. Set the example. Everything that is done through that lens, everything in Passion Youth is done through that lens. How does this, you know, I think to myself, how does this activity create an individual passion for Christ in their lives? How does this message create an individual passion for Christ in their lives? Everything is done through this framework. We believe an individual passion, a couple things here. We believe an individual passion is created through, in Passion Youth, discovering and reading God's Word. We do this through periodic Bible studies. And our messages on Wednesdays are always from the Word of God. And they're always will be from the Word of God. That's a promise. We do this through reaching others. And what I mean by that is we do this through service projects. And we have this thing called our Hometowns Mission Trip, which we do every winter. It was actually postponed this year due to COVID, like a lot of things were. But man, we're planning this for January 30th. We just have some awesome service projects in the Valley. And we're going to help out a ministry in Ogden as well. Little shout out to that if you want to be a part of that, teenagers. But we reach others. We do this through worship. Right? We have some amazingly, I just want to say this, I don't know if you know this, we have some amazingly and awesome, talented teenagers in this church. And you guys have seen them on Sunday a lot of times. We have Caleb Avisuras right in the back here, and they're even helping out today, plays the bass. We have Warner who plays the drums on Sunday, right? They just do an awesome, can we give it up for them real quick? They do an awesome job. Absolutely. You know, and I did give a little bit of a more shout out to Warner. Warner actually, we have a worship team in Passion Youth, and Warner is actually in charge of kind of overseeing that, and he does such an awesome job, way better than I ever could. You don't want to hear me play music, I promise. He does an awesome job. Another way we do this is studying apologetics and doctrine. And this is something that may even be a little bit unique to Passion Youth. I think it is so important to not only know why you believe what you believe, but it's so important to, well, I should say it like this. It's not only important to know what you believe, but know why you believe what you believe. It's so important to know doctrine. And hey, and we can know doctrine as teenagers. Teenagers, you can know why the Bible says what it says, or you can know why, how you can have confidence in, hey, how do I know God exists? You can have confidence in answers like that and stuff. And so we focus on doctrine and apologetics. Apologetics is just the defense of the faith. And we do this through we have a question and answer night periodically where the students are free to ask questions about their faith in a safe and non-judgmental environment. I'll even go touch on that a little bit more. It is so important to have a solid understanding of your faith, especially at a young age. These students ask some awesome questions. I'm a philosophy major at Utah State, and some of these questions are like, you know, way more beyond than some of the things I hear in school, right? Just awesome questions. First, going back to 1 Timothy 4:12, this verse again, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. This is a little bit of context behind this. This is Paul talking to the much younger Timothy in this passage. Most scholars believe that Paul is about around 70 years old in this time, and Timothy was around 30 or even younger. In Greek society, it was more common, and kind of in our society too, it was more common to have a high respect for those who were much older, like Paul. In fact, in this society, especially in the early church, there's even some people that wouldn't even look at Paul, look at Timothy as a respected leader because he's younger, way younger in this time period, right? And so I love this passage. Timothy was this young pastor in Ephesus when Paul was writing, "Let no one despise you for your youth." Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, Timothy. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, right? I think this happens sometimes with teens, right? I think the greatest thing that the older, and I've seen this a lot in our church, and praise God for it. I think the greatest thing that the older generation can do is, and Bev hinted at this, you know, let's not be like, man, teenagers are so, you know, they're so lazy. They don't know the real world, all this stuff. The greatest thing that the older generation can do for the younger generation is coming alongside them and encouraging them and building them up. Said, hey, I'm here with you. I want to help you in your faith. I want to build. That's discipleship, right? Pastor Michael talked about that last week. That is building each other up. That is growing each other. And I just want to encourage you, if you haven't ever done that, I'd encourage you, not only the parents, to find, you know, maybe look for somebody. Hey, I want to mentor you. You're younger than me. I want to mentor you. And teenagers, look for somebody. Hey, you're older than me. I want to step underneath you. And I love this Paul and Timothy relationship here. This is very much needed in the church today. I think it's interesting that he says, let no one despise you for your youth. Let no one despise you for your youth. Don't allow anyone to do it. Like, let no one despise you for your youth. Being young does not disqualify you from being a part of the body of Christ. Being a teenager does not disqualify you from being a part of the body of Christ. I love what this passage says next. Set the believers an example. This is for all you youth and those who are young. Set the example, all you youth. Set the example, right? Set the bar, if you will. It's like, man, and here's kind of the thought process behind this passage is like, don't let anybody size you because you're young, but set the example. So it's like, man, it would be so cool if we saw like, you know, some of those who are older, and when I say older, I don't know, I mean, I guess above 18, let's say that, right? Those who are above 18, it would be so cool to be like, you know what? I am so impressed with that person's faith, that student's faith. That encourages me. That's an example that I want to attain. I am so encouraged by Paige's faith, right? I want to be like that. And I want to love Jesus like Paige loves Jesus. I want to be like that. I'm picking on Paige here. But man, that is such an awesome thing in this passage. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the example. The thought here is that not just look good, and this is for you too, but literally let others see your acts and be like, man, I wish I could be more like him or her as they pursue Christ. It continues and says, set the example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Set all believers the example, the bar, in how you speak, how you act, how you treat one another, in love, in your faith, and in purity. Right? By the way, we don't always, these attributes, we don't always think of youth in this way, sadly, in our culture. And sometimes I get that, but we should. And in our church, we should. We need to encourage this. And here's what I want to speak on a second. I want to speak to parents and students here. So first, parents. I'm not a parent. I'm not an expert in teenage behavior or anything like that. With that said, one of the most discouraging things I have heard from parents, and Bev hinted at this, sounds like, you know, that's just how teenagers act, or something along those lines, or maybe it's like that's how I don't know teenage boys or girls act. You know, they're just gonna rebel. I hear that a lot. You know, that's just how they act. Rebellion is we have made rebellion so normal in teenagers' lives, and it is so sad. And not just it is a culture in the U.S. that is just this rebellious culture. Teenagers rebel. That's what they do. And I'm not suggesting there are not unique traits that teenagers have that are not as prevalent when they are adults, but I think sometimes we say these things, and what happens is it becomes an excuse used by teenagers to do the things that do not honor God. If you're telling or communicating to your teenager that teens are a bit more wild, they're kind of rebellious, then it's almost as if you're giving them an excuse to do that. Hopefully that makes sense. Because after all, they're just teenagers, right? That's the mindset. It's like they're just teenagers. This is not what that passage says. Teenagers can very much set the example for the church. And man, my prayer is that this happens at New Life Fellowship. And teenagers, I also want to address teenagers. Teens, don't allow the stereotypes. So important. Hopefully you're listening. Don't allow the stereotypes of what culture states how teens ought to act dictate how you act. Don't you dare believe the lie that you have to act a certain way, right? I see expressions and even brands all the time that are like young and dumb or young and reckless. And don't you dare waste your time on selling yourself short to please the culture. Don't you dare waste your time in that. God has called you to such bigger things. I remember when I was a teenager, YOLO was the big expression. I really don't hear that much. This, you only live once, right? And it's just this, you're young, you're reckless, right? Man, that is so foolish. Don't allow culture to dictate the standard that God has called you to. As a Christian, you are called to be separate from the world, regardless of age. And I know this can be tough. I also want to speak from grace. I was a teenager at one time as well, not that long ago. But the reality is, as a Christian, regardless of age, you are separate from the world and are called to a higher standard. And man, this may, you know, for me in high school, it may cause you to be kind of the odd one out. And I definitely wasn't perfect. I don't want to claim that at all. But the reality is, our greatest pursuit in life is knowing Christ Jesus as our Lord. Nothing is better than that. If you know, teenagers, if you know Jesus in your life, then you will look different. I mean, we mess up. Adults mess up too, right? Parents mess up too. But praise God for his glorious grace that we aren't saved by what we do, but what has been done for us. I've shared this story before, but I remember in high school, I was invited to kind of a wild party, and I knew there'd be like, you know, I don't know, drinking and smoking and, you know, teenage behavior, by the way, as our culture would put it, and I turned it down. And I remember when asked by a friend, he's like, did you turn it down? Because it's against your religion, right? He's put it something like that. And that concept at the time was so odd to me. Because I didn't do that sort of stuff, or I did not do that stuff. I didn't avoid parties and stuff because it was against my religion, restricting it or something, but because I loved God and I didn't want to do it. I loved the things of Jesus and I just didn't want to do it. And this isn't a brag on how righteous I am, but a brag on God for how desirable he is above all things and how desirable he was in my life at that time. Students, teenagers, be the example. Be the example, not simply for your parents or a religion's sake or whatever, but because you love God and you love the things that he loves. I want to say this. Parents, I want to let you know that I take my role very seriously. I really do. James 3:1 says this, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Yikes. This verse states that not many people should be teachers, right? It's a risky business being a teacher, that is leading others. Why? Because those who teach will be judged with, it says it right there, judged with greater strictness. A teacher claims to be an authority in something, right? That's a high responsibility, and it should give a person pause before they take any sort of teaching role. And I want to say this, parents, you are teachers as well. You are teachers and well, and there are things that you have to teach your children that I never can, that I just can't. This isn't pointing fingers or a guilt trip. Like I said, I'm not a parent, but I think we must be careful to not think that the youth pastor or the children's pastor should be experts on your kids. I absolutely want to be an encouragement and pour into your teens' lives, into teenagers' lives, but I will never have the same position with a teen that a parent has, ever. Jesus takes this responsibility seriously as well. Matthew 18, and a lot of you heard this verse, really famous verse, especially talking about like kids' ministry, but it says this, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I'm calling to him a child. He put him in the midst of them, verse 3, and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 5 is a lot of times we stop there. Look at verse 5. Whoever receives one such child in the name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. That's very serious. Very serious. And it certainly applies to teachers, and it certainly applies to parents as well. And here's the reality. No doubt that teens will make their own choices and have their own thoughts. I mean, that's good. But parents can certainly, in their stewardship and time with their children, can have an influence in their lives and point them in the right direction. Sure, you can't force them. It's so important. You can't force your teen, to have a relationship with Jesus. You can't do that. But by the grace of God, you can point them in the right direction and lead them in the direction that they need to go. I shared this a while back on my Facebook. This is actually from an excerpt from a blog by Ruth Mayer, and I just loved it. It's a little long, but bear with me. It says this. My parents forced me, you can hear the sarcasm in this, like check this. My parents forced me to eat 3 times a day growing up. No joke, 3 times every single day. And it wasn't always stuff I liked either. Matter of fact, I complained a lot about what my mom made. Ew, gross, sauteed zucchini, seriously. Mom, you know we hate this stuff. So as I approached adulthood, I made an important decision. Since my parents forced me to eat while I was growing up, I decided I was done with meals. Oh, here and there, I'll eat out of obligation. I mean, family traditions like Thanksgiving and Christmas. Yeah, I'm there. But daily eating? No way, I'm done. And I love what she says here. Set in any other context, excuses people make for not going to church sound completely ridiculous. But set in the context of Christianity, people say these things in all seriousness, while others nod sagely in somber agreement. And she continues, church isn't a place you go to get pumped up about life. It isn't entertainment like a movie or concert. It is literally a life and death matter, eternal life. Just as a loving parent wouldn't allow their child to wander in the road or to quit school, a loving Christian parent also does not give the option to their children about going to church, learning Bible stories at home, and praying together. Do your kids always I love this. Do your kids always jump for joy when they hear you say, time to get up, let's get ready for church? No, they won't. Do they get excited for school every morning? Hardly. But you still make them go. Why? Because you are the parent and you know what's best. Even when they complain, you serve them healthful meals and limit their junk food intake. You set boundaries for their own safety when playing outside. You insist they go to school because you're looking at the long-term picture. And you're right to do those things. How much more so are you responsible for doing all you can to secure their eternal well-being? I love that blog entry. Not only do I think it's important for your kids to come to church on Sunday, but I think it's also important to allow your teen to have interactions and friendships with other Christian believers in youth group as well. Hebrews talks about not forsaking gathering together, right, as some are in the habit of doing. And I absolutely believe this applies for teenagers as well. Being around other teenagers or going through the same sort of things, I think that is so important. Dude, and I'm not saying it's easy all the time. Like I said, in no way am I trying to put a guilt trip or a judgment, hey, do this or do that. I'm no expert. I mean, I think it's so important. We believe all these other things are important, like food, and she uses the example of food, but so many other things, and not allowing your kid to play in the road, but it is so important to bring your kid to church on Sundays. That is so important. And Wednesdays and youth and children's ministry. Deuteronomy 6:4-7 says this, and you'll recognize this first verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And verse 6, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. All right, Deuteronomy 6:4, the verse 4 is our one initiative theme verse. And I love what verse 7 says. Teach them diligently to your children. Teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit at your house. I kind of think of like that's like having dinner with your teens, right? With your family. And many of you know this. There's numerous studies that show the benefits of having dinner together as a whole family. Right? And what an awesome opportunity to open up with them about their walks with God, about their doubts, about their questions, where they're at in life. It is so important. And I love that. And when you walk, by the way, that's almost like driving to school or whatever, right? Everyday life. And when you lie down and when you rise in the mundane, ordinary, daily things. This is a daily thing, so important, and not just a Sunday afternoon or Wednesday night. Couple, I really just want to share some really just encouragements on how you can encourage your teens in this time in your life and really just how important it is to connect with them. So a couple things here. The first is this, have devotionals with your teens. Bev mentioned this, there's some excellent devotions out there. YouVersion Bible has literally hundreds of devotions out there. Right now, media has hundreds. There's an Alpha, we did Alpha a couple years ago, I think we're doing Alpha here in the next little bit in Pastor Ian's life group. But man, I just want to, there's a Youth Alpha that is just awesome, has some amazing resources. I think it's awesome. But man, have devotionals with your teens. Second thing, pray with them in the morning and at night. And this is something as a teenager I certainly took for granted and made ritualistic. But I am so thankful that anytime I visit my parents' home, when I leave from my parents' home, we actually pray for each other. Lord, help Matthew as he goes on the road, right? Or you know, this week. And we pray for one another, and it is so important. Prayer is, we can't emphasize how important prayer is. Verse 3, keep them involved. This is going to sound a little self-promoting, but keep them involved in youth ministry, says the youth pastor. But like I said earlier, it is vitally important that you keep them involved with others. Others of their same age who are going through the same things that may be going through. Other young Christians, right? Man, that is so important. Do not forsake, like Hebrews says, do not forsake this gathering together. And I absolutely believe, like I said, that applies to teenagers as well. 4, never underestimate their doubts and questions. And I think this is so important. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to always be prepared to give a reason and a hope for the hope that is within us. And it's so important for us to be ready to address their questions in regards to their faith and where they're at in life. No shame. Man, that is something that discourages me, is when I hear parents like, oh, I asked my parent and they just told me, don't question that thing. Right? Or don't question that. You just have faith, right? Man, we need to deal, and this is a church-wide thing, but we need to deal with questions and doubts in a way that's going to lead to answers, right? That is so important. And so never underestimate their doubts and questions. They're important. The fifth thing sounds very common sense, but it's absolutely true. Spend time with them. Sometimes they want nothing to do with you. Amen? Sometimes teenagers want nothing to do with you. But in reality, they absolutely, and they may not say this, but they absolutely want and need your guidance. In teenage years, there are so many pulls in so many directions, and teens are passionate. That's one thing about teenagers, said this. Sometimes teenagers are more passionate than adults are. And God has given you the stewardship to direct those passions. This may involve making Sunday nights family night or something along those lines, but it is so important to spend time with our teenagers. This one sounds common sense too, but it's so important. Read the Bible with them. Spend time in the Word with them and study together with them. Don't pretend to know everything. This is important. Don't pretend to know everything. Like if you're with a teenager or anybody, really, it's good advice for anybody, but if you're with somebody and you're like, oh yeah, that means, and you totally make up an answer, you know, when you're studying the Bible. I see that sometimes, but it's like people recognize authenticity and honesty, and you can kind of recognize when somebody's not really giving you a very honest answer. So don't be afraid to say, I'm not sure what that means, but let's find out together. I think that's a great thing. Well, church, I want to say this. That's all I have there, but I just want to say I am so excited for all that God has in store for Passion Youth this coming year and children's ministry and just our entire One initiative. I am so grateful to belong to a church who cares about youth, who cares about kids. That is such an awesome thing. I have been so blessed in my I think I've been here 3.5, 4 years now as the youth pastor, and I am so absolutely blessed to be here in a church that cares about youth and kids. So I just want to encourage you, and I'll pray in a second, but I just want to encourage you, I absolutely hope that you can be, man, at work, you know, be in prayer for teenagers. When in your daily, be in prayer for the teenagers. They need prayer. Build them up. Even if you don't have teens at home, please be in prayer for them. Be in prayer for kids. It is so important. Well, I want to pray at this time, pray over you and pray with you. Father, I just pray for each and every person here, Lord. God, I pray that you have called us to disciple teenagers and kids, God. And I just pray, Lord, that you would give us the confidence to do this. Not just the confidence, God, but Lord, that you would guide us and direct us. God, your word says in Exodus, without vision, the people perish. And God, that is so true. Without vision, we can't do anything, Lord. Thank you so much for your direction in our life, Jesus. And I just pray for every teenager, every kid here, Jesus. God, we know you have a plan and purpose for their lives, Jesus. Oh, Lord, won't you mold them and shape them, God, to love you more and in greater ways, Jesus. Father, thank you for the awesome privilege and responsibility that we can play a part in discipling the next generation, the next one, God. Thank you for who you are, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, hey, I just want to say real quick, if you're interested or have questions about volunteering in kids ministry or volunteering as a volunteer at Passion Youth, we do have signups actually just right in the back little table there. Well, church, thank you so much, and I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday, and God bless you.